May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to thee, O Lord, for thou art our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Buenos días, mis hermanos. Dios es bueno todo el tiempo. One of these days, we'll have all of us say that. We can do that. It's maybe six words. God is good all the time. When I was a junior in high school, and this goes back quite a ways, I was 16 years old, and I can recall following my birthday when I would walk to school, and yes, I walked to school. Shane's not here, so he would tell you it's uphill both ways, in the snow, Corpus Christi, Texas. But we did walk to school. We were about a mile away. And on the way there to Mary Carroll High School, there was a used car lot. And there were cars all the time there. And keep in mind now, I just turned 16. I just got my driver's license. And I was eyeing, it was an older car, but I was eyeing a 1961 Chevrolet, Chevy Biscayne. And I thought it looked really, really good. Couldn't afford, a 57 Chevy, but nonetheless, this was a 61 Chevy. The price tag was $600. So I thought, I don't have near that much money. But I went home, and I told my dad about it. And Dad said, well, let's look at it. So we drove to the, he didn't want to walk, we drove to the dealership, the used car lot, and I said, that's it, $600. I said, I don't have the money. May I borrow it from the bank? And he said, yeah. So we drive to the bank, and I can recall talking to the loan officer, and my father was sitting with me. And I said, I want to borrow $600 to buy a car. And he said, oh, okay. He said, do you have a job? And I said, yes, I do. I've got a great job. I work at Handy Andy. I'm a stock boy, and I make $1.25 an hour. He said, how many hours a week do you work in your school time? And I said, about 10 hours a week. And he could see the wheels turning. And he's saying, well, maybe we can make this work, but I'll have to have your father co-sign. I said, why? I have the job. I'm paying for the car. It's my car. He said, well, you may lose the job. Who knows? But you've got to have your dad co-sign. So I said, Dad? He said, yeah, I'll co-sign. So he co-signed, and I walked out with $600 in cash in my hand. I went to the dealership with my father, bought the car, and drove it home. About 4 weeks later, at the Handy Andy store, it's a grocery store, about 4 weeks later, I had my boss, I'm 16, I worked on Fridays and Saturdays, he would tap me on the shoulder, and he did. He said, Mike, I'm going to have to let you go. I said, why? He said, well, we have to trim down, and I'm sorry, son, but I have to let you go. And I thought, oh, no. What do I do? So I go home in my car that I owe the bank about $560 or something, and I explain the story to my father. And he said, I'll pay for it. I said, Dad, I'll pay you back. He said, well, we'll see, but I'll pay for it. We go to the bank. The same loan officer. We talked to him, and he said, you lost your job. I said, yes, sir, I lost my job. He said, what are you going to do? And I said, well, my dad said that he would pay for it. So Dad wrote a check, whatever it was. And I'm telling you, I remember so clearly The banker took a big rubber stamp in ink, you know, the kind that you rolled. He took the loan papers and he hit it hard. Boom. Paid in full. And I walked out with the title to a car I never paid for. But, excuse me, I'm going to get some water. But on the title read my name. Actually, every time I tell that story, I get nervous. And my mouth dries up. But here I am driving a car with the title in the front seat of a car I never paid for. And I'm telling you, church, as we continue the series on the Lord's Prayer, it fits in precisely with the word debt, and we'll discuss the word debt in just a moment. So, our Father, Jesus says, pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. There are three words I'd like to focus on for the next 15 or 20 minutes. First word, obviously, is the word forgive. The second word, which is a very unusual word in the New Testament, it's only used twice in the New Testament, is the word debt. And then the third is the word as, or the phrase, as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The word forgive literally means to send away. It's the Greek verb aphiemi. It means to send away. And it's a great image. And it's used frequently in our New Testament. Every time you read the word forgive, generally, that's the verb that's used. It means to send away. Therefore, when you send something away, it's no longer present. And so if it's the wrong of another person, then you simply treat that person as if it never happened. Or in the case of God forgiving me or God forgiving you, He sends away the wrong, sends away the moral debt. Now, a few weeks ago, we talked about Luke chapter 15 and the prodigal son. It's a wonderful, in fact, it's called the pearl of the parables. And I'm going to go back just for a few moments because it demonstrates this word far more than any words that I could ever use. We're not going to read the text from Luke 15. I may recite a portion of it. But ironically, though, as we begin, Luke, the evangelist, never uses the word forgive in the parable of the prodigal son. But it is filled with the concept of sending away a wrong. You know the story. There was a father, had two sons, the elder one and the younger one. The elder one received two portions, a double portion of the inheritance. So he was to receive, when the father died, unless the father gave it early, he would have received two-thirds of the estate. And this is a very wealthy man with a large estate, servants, livestock, no doubt coin somewhere. He had a lot of money. He was worth a lot. So what happens? The younger son did something that was absolutely untold of in the ancient world, which is the reason that our Lord shared the story, because it's so horrible of what he did. So the younger son goes to the father and he says, "Father, I want my inheritance now," while the father's still alive. By the way, the father, even if he bequeathed and gave his sons the inheritance while he was living, he had every right to live off the inheritance, every right. So when the younger son came and demanded disposition of the inheritance, he was in fact saying, "Father, Dad, I don't care whether you live or die. In fact, frankly, I can't wait for you to die because I've got things I want to do and I need my portion. I need your money." And so the father gave him one-third of the entire estate. The young boy takes this, young man takes this portion, goes off to a foreign country, and there the Bible tells us that he wasted his living, wasted his inheritance in loose living, came to find out, would soon realize that he was starving to death, he's feeding from a pig's trough, and he realizes, even my father's servants have more food than I have, I will go back to my father. And then he memorizes this speech. It's a penitent speech. And he says, this is what he was going to say: Father, I have sinned before you and before heaven. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. So he puts these words together, and barefoot, he starts the long journey home. His father sees him walking apparently up the path. He doesn't wait for him to get all the way to him. He runs to the boy, runs to his son. And as he's running, clearly he's hollering to the servants, quickly, bring the best robe. Put it on my son's back. Put a ring on his finger, my signet ring. Put sandals on his feet. And go kill the fatted calf, because we're going to have a celebration. My son was lost, and he's now found. He was dead, and he's now alive. And then he embraced him. Once again, the word afim, the word forgive, is not used anywhere in that parable. But the story is just replete with the thought of the father sending away the sin of the young man, his son, and treating his son as if it never, ever happened. That's forgiveness. When someone wrongs me and I send it away as if it never happened. So Jesus says, pray like this: Father, forgive us our debts. In every other text, even in the Lucan portion of the Lord's Prayer, the word sin is used. Clearly, though, our Lord, in this Matthean text, clearly Jesus is referencing moral debt. It's used only here in Matthew 6:12 and in Romans 4:4. It referred strictly to the banking circles. It was used, that banker who loaned me the money, yeah, he would have called it a debt. You are indebted to Frost Bank. We own you and the car until you give us $600. And that's the word that's used, the word debt. Tell me, how in the world are we indebted to God? Now, I know that we understand sin and the fact that we break the Ten Commandments and many other sins, but how are we indebted to the Lord, if not to start with our disobedience? Rather than love our neighbor, we hurt our neighbor. Instead of seeking God's will, we seek our own will. He tells us to love and forgive our enemies, and we attack our enemies. And it's not just the disobedience that every time we write a check, you know, it's stamped insufficient funds. We can't cash it because the debt's too large. We don't have the money in the bank. It's not just a matter of disobedience that makes us indebted to God. It's the fact that often we simply disregard God, especially in this 21st century modern culture that we live in. He created the heavens and the earth. He created the universe, and we applaud science. He heals the sick. We applaud medicine. He grants beauty to our land, and we somehow give credit to Mother Nature without ever mentioning God. He gives us all of our possessions. He gives us our home and our clothing and our food and our transportation. And we somehow applaud human ingenuity and hard work. Now, it's not to say that we shouldn't applaud science or medicine or hard work, but leaving God out of the equation, leaving God out of the marketplace, out of the public square, out of our daily commute, is a total and flagrant disregard of who He is, our Heavenly Father and Almighty God, and it's a lie. It just isn't true. When we applaud science to the neglect of the one who created the world, and everything that we're discovering, He's already created. It's just a matter of us discovering what God has given us. And instead of giving God the glory, we glory everyone other than God. We even say if we glory God somehow, you know, we're at least many in our culture would consider, you know, Christianity a myth, and those who believe it simply duped. And so we as God's children need to understand that we are indebted to God. The sins we commit, the moral debt that we have. So what do you do with debt? What did I have to do with the bank? I had no money. They were taking the car, or someone else had to step forward, and it wasn't me. John the Baptist, when he was on the River Jordan in John chapter 1, and he's preaching, "Repent, for God's kingdom is at hand," he sees Jesus walking towards him. He has with him at least two of his disciples, Andrew, the son of John, and John, the son of Zebedee. So here's Andrew and John with John the Baptizer. And he stops what he's doing. He gets their attention, and he exclaims, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And the moment Andrew and John heard that, they left John and they followed Jesus. Jesus even used a banking term on the cross. In the next season, next year, just prior to Easter for the Lenten season, I plan to take 7 messages in a row and talking about each of the sayings of the cross. It's usually done on a Good Friday service and other traditions, and they put it all together for a singular 15 or 20 minute moment. But each of these sayings are so important that I thought we would devote a bit longer than that on them. What did he say? The 6th saying on the cross. It is truly teleo. It's a banking term. If I were to, in the ancient world, in the ancient Hellenistic world, if I were to if I bought a piece of property, a field next to me, but did not have quite the money to cover the cost of it, and I worked out an arrangement with the one who owned the field that I would make installments, the last installment would have come from this same word, teleo. The last, because the word means fulfilled. Fulfilled. And of all the words our Lord could have used, He said, "It is finished." It is finished. You know, I could just see this rubber stamp. Boom. Paid in full. And the next words out of His mouth, "Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit, because it is finished." The last installment has been paid. There is no debt. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Grace received, grace given. Mercy received, mercy given. Forgiveness received, forgiveness given. It's not causal. This is not a quid pro quo. This is not something for something. Jesus is certainly not telling us or the disciples or anyone else who will listen, if you forgive others, God will have no choice. He must forgive you. Church, we do not forgive others. We do not send away others' debts in order to have our debts sent away. We forgive others because we have been forgiven. And if you don't understand that, then perhaps the very beginning, he'll say the same thing in verses 13 and 14. If we don't quite understand that, we lose the whole concept. Forgive us as we forgive others, as we forgive our debtors. By the way, do you know what I did with the car 3 years later from age 16 to 19? And I was a freshman in college, quit college, didn't belong there anyway at that age. Joined the military. I knew I'd be, this is during the Vietnam era, I knew I'd be shipped overseas. I didn't know how long, but I knew there would be at least a year. Turned out to be 3 years over there, overseas. So I had this car. My older brother Gary, was getting married that year. That was 1969. They will celebrate their 50th next year, he and Ava. And he needed a car. I said, Gary, wow. Title, my name on the title. And the keys, they're yours. He said, Mike, how much do I owe you? And I said, nothing. It was a gift. Now, my dad wasn't there with that exchange, but I have no doubt that he was, when he found out, and he found out quickly, that he just smiled and said, he got it. He understands. The boy got it. And I tell you, church, there is no doubt that every time we forgive our debtors, our Father says, he got it. She understands. You want to put a smile on the Father's face? Do that. Forgive those who have sinned against you. Forgive those who have wronged you. You want to put a smile on Abba's face? That will do it. Because he'll totally, unequivocally, know you got it. And so Jesus says, pray like this. Our Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I'd like to invite the elders to walk forward, and they're going to be standing up here and all around, I suspect, in the back. This is a wonderful opportunity to pray to your Heavenly Father with another brother, someone who understands what we've been through. And as we pray, whether in the pew or up front, as we pray, pray those words. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for forgiving, for sending away our debt. You have paid in full, and it was none of our own doing. And therefore, we also will pay in full all of those who have wronged us. And you'll not only be smiling, he'll be smiling, everyone's smiling. When you do the right thing, you just smile. Come to the Lord and to our brothers as we stand together for this song and sing. Thank you.
Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive. the foolish ways. Recall the sin I write, for mine in purer lives thy service find, in deeper reverence praise, in simple trust like this to earn me sincerity. The gracious calling of the Lord, led us like them without a word, rise up and follow thee. Drop thy still dews of quietness till all our striving cease. Take from our souls the strain of stress, and let our mortal lives confess the beauty of thy peace. Amen.
By the way, church, let me finish that story about the car. It fits right into the benediction. I did spend 3 years overseas. I came back in 1972, and my brother, Gary, had sold the car because he had driven the wheels off. He sold it for $100. Well, that year, Debbie and I got married, and we had to have a car. He didn't buy the car, but he did, for far more than $100, give us enough money to make several car payments. And I just thought, it just keeps on going. Keeps on going. Receive this benediction. May God, our Heavenly Father, may we experience the love of our Father as He provides and forgives and protects us as one family, today and forever. Amen.